before and after. We love to compare and contrast. From the before and after weight loss pictures and programs that we love to watch, the before and after pictures of childhood stars and how far they've come since their childhood stardom, before and after home improvement shows and how much the home has changed. I wonder what life of faith looks like in a before and after frame. So let me tell some stories of before. The people of Israel made a golden calf, worshiped it, sacrificed, and gave it credit for the escape from Egypt. An idol of their own creation, and they gave it the credit for the miracles they had experienced. A stiff-necked people, they took offense when called on their own falsehoods. A school bookkeeper, a single parent with a disabled son. She is newly divorced and feels overwhelmed with life, despairing and not knowing how she will make it through another day. She contemplates suicide just to end the suffering and escape the struggle. The writer of today's psalm lived a life of iniquity or grossly immoral behavior, sinned and transgressed, and committed evil to such a degree that God would be justified and blameless when passing judgment for a lifetime of anything but grace. A little boy. As an infant, one day his mother will leave and never come home. As a toddler, his father will leave to find work as a farmhand, never to return. Left alone with his grandmother in a dirt floor shack, both living on noodles, both slowly starving. As a five-year-old, he will ride a train to the big city, only to be left there in a park across the street from the police station, his only possessions, the clothes on his back, with his name and where he was born pinned to his shirt. Paul, in a letter to his younger colleague Timothy, as he makes his way to the church in Ephesus. Paul calls himself a blasphemer or someone who shows contempt or lack of reverence to God, a persecutor, referring to his persecution of Christians, and a man of violence, given that said persecution many times ended in a violent death for those Paul persecuted. I grew up in a family of faith, but as I became an adult, I drifted away from church and from God. I drank too much, swore too much, judged too much, and sarcasm was my middle name. Passive aggressiveness, my chosen form of communication. After losing my dad to cancer as a teenager and just before I started high school, I lived in a world of fear and sorrow and silence. I was like that lost and lonely sheep clinging to the plant of my unbelief, living in the darkness of isolation. So what's your story of before? Do any of these stories resonate with you? Do they remind you of your own before? Someone anonymous once said, "There are three C's of life: choices, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change." That's pretty wise. I'm going to repeat that. There are three C's of life: choices, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. Choices, chances, and changes. It reminds me of a wonderful prayer in our service of Compline, a service that we here in the Episcopal Church, we call it the Daily Offices. They're a series of prayers that we can start our day with, from morning prayer through noonday to evening to Compline. And there is this prayer and compline that reminds me of the choices, chances, and changes of this life. So I'd like you to grab a prayer book in the pew rack. They're the ones with the cross on the front. And I'd like you to turn to page 133 in your prayer book. Page 133. And there's a prayer there, three paragraphs up from the bottom. And that's the prayer we're going to say together this morning. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, the prayer book is a wonderful resource. How many of you have ever prayed Compline before? Have you ever done Compline before? It's a nice series of prayers, and the language is stunningly beautiful, I have to say, and it really speaks, I think, to us in the 21st century even, that, you know, it really walks with us in our human experiences. So what about those after stories? What do those before stories after look like? After. The Israelites were spared death there in the desert, for they gave up their self-proclaimed and self-created golden idol, and they returned to the Lord, who had been the real deal when they were led out of Egypt in the first place. And even though it would take generations, it would be the Lord who would lead them to the promised land. The school bookkeeper is Antoinette Tuff, and the parents of the children at the Ronald E. McNair Learning Academy in Decatur, Georgia, give thanks that she was there that day when Michael Hill, a troubled young man, entered the building, determined to kill innocents. By a combination of love, empathy, and grace, she persuaded Hill to surrender. She credits a sermon her pastor had given the week before on being anchored in the Lord. Interestingly, she had studied it that morning before she left for work. Our psalmist of the day pleads with the Lord for mercy, for a steadfast love that will cleanse the sin and clear the way for wisdom. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Our orphaned little boy was adopted at the age of 8 into a loving family by my little brother, who is maybe not so little anymore. And this little boy now has two big sisters that he can pick on and irritate every day. He has a new grandmother whom he loves and adores, and who loves him with all her heart, which is my mother's way. He goes to church every Sunday to worship the Lord, and he says grace with his new family before meals. And we know what Paul's after looks like. He did receive mercy and grace, and the Lord overflowed him with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And through the experiences of his faith, the courage of Paul's conviction, and the beauty of his writing, we, these millennia later, which is an amazing thing, we receive mercy of the grace of the Lord, which overflows through us by our faith in the love of Christ Jesus. And me? I came home to a way of worship like that of my childhood, and there I found a shepherd that showed me a way out of the brambles of my unbelief. A good shepherd who spread healing balm on the loneliness of my fear and sorrow, who led me to find an Episcopal priest who was also a pastoral counselor. It was he who taught me how to cope with life in much healthier and faithful ways. And a joy in the Lord grew up in their place. And my belief in Christ sustains me to this day. What about your before and after? Are you ready for the three C's of your life? I love hearing her laugh. Are you ready to make a choice, to take a chance for your life to change? And may all God's people say, amen.